The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to June of 1984.
The University of Detroit presents Ask the Professor. The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with the University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Edwin DeWint, and today we have our regular panel with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Very good. On his right, from the Department of...
There's a man who means business.
By... Psychology, Professor Robert O'Neill.
George has done well in his assertiveness training course, hasn't he?
Let's get to the questions.
On his right, from the Department of Psychology, also Professor Bernie Green.
Hi.
On his right, from the Department of History, Professor Sarah
Gravel.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, low.
And on Sarah's right, my left, from the Department of Political Science, Professor John Klemanski.
Proud to be here.
Very good. I was counting on John to at least restore decorum to this.
Yes, he's well behaved.
Most of the questions you hear in this program are sent in by our listeners. If you stump the panel, you receive an autograph.
That's because he tells his mother everything.
Everything.
If you fail to stump the panel, you receive an autograph photograph and a bumper sticker. And
she's telling you.
Send a question in, period.
She's telling him
you get a bumper sticker. All right. On our last program, we were just
starting. What goes around gets lost.
Hi, Ed.
A series of questions from Bess and Gail Grober of Redford Township, Michigan.
We're close to the end, aren't we?
We did most of those, and we were doing pretty well, I thought.
We have decided that they have won.
Right. Benny Durrigan, right?
We don't know.
I mean, Bunny Goodman. I mean,
for this panel.
Is it next week already?
Yes, it is.
Yep. Time flies.
It really is when you're having fun.
Okay. Sick Gloria Transit.
Bess and Gail Grober, you have won. You have beaten the panel. We
give up.
We give up.
Submission. Gloria was bitten on the subway.
And don't write back.
Sure, write back.
Sure.
Our next set of questions.
See how much authority.
Mark White, instructor at Kodiak Community College.
Hey,
Kodiak,
where's
Alaska.
Kodiak?
Yeah.
Isn't that on an
call
island?
Collect.
I think
first
this is the
island?
First, yes, call collect. See what happens to you. You get billed for it.
Was there a postage due on this thing?
That's very good, yes.
Is he one of those pineapple farmers out here?
Yes. Anyway, I think this is the first question we've ever gotten from Kodiak.
Well, we've sent them questions.
Anyway, he says, listening to you from our little island off the coast of Alaska is an event that we delight in weekly.
It is an island.
As you dazzle us with brilliance.
Delight in it strongly. It's much better.
Isthmus.
A bear.
One aspect that I've not yet heard discussed concerns the moon and its effects upon the Earth.
Tides.
I'm hoping some of the following questions and answers will be of amusement to you and other
tides, werewolves,
listeners.
And
lunatics.
Following our 10 questions.
And vampires.
Stumbling over the correct answers to 7 of them with a minimal coaching should net you a passing grade.
He does listen.
Yes.
He does. First, an easy one.
Okay.
Who was the Roman goddess of the moon, animals, and hunting?
Diana.
That's right.
That would be Diana.
Diana Ross.
Diana Ross, yes. She was the supreme,
and the supreme
goddess.
There you go.
Approximately how much heavier than the moon is the Earth?
About 2.5 times.
No,
you divide... Things weigh 1/6 on the moon.
But does the moon itself weigh 1/6?
He does say that he'll accept anything with a factor of 2.
Within a factor of 2?
Mm-hmm. Oh, twice then.
No.
With a factor of 2?
I will accept anything within a factor of 2 of the figure.
The Earth weighs around 4 quadrillion pounds, I think.
Do you?
Get a common denominator there, will you, Bernie?
Mm-hmm.
More?
Much more than 16.
32.
Oh.
Well, what
do
we...
128.
Too high.
96.
Almost there.
92.
A little lower.
90.
About 89.
86.
Oh, keep going.
80.
Just up a little.
81.
Yes.
81.
81.
That's a lot.
81 what?
Times
81 times heavier.
No.
Oh,
wow.
The Earth is
mm-hmm.
heavy.
Mm-hmm. No wonder I'm tired at
those
night.
Little dwarfs carry a lot.
Many people feel that certain phases of
Where do they go get off pushing the tides around then?
Well, I don't know.
Chutzpah.
What are we, some helpless little giant?
Yes.
Chutzpah. Yes. Many people.
Do the communists control the moon?
Probably. Many people feel that certain phases of the moon have a pronounced effect upon man's behavior.
Oh.
While some say
I don't believe it myself.
No, only if you're an Aries.
While some say this is pure
only
lunacy.
Only if you're an airhead?
It's exactly nice. Lunacy.
A number of scientists have done much to document a causal relationship.
Right.
If such a relationship exists, what is the mechanism by which it acts?
Gravity.
Ears.
That's right.
Ears. It's the inner ear, really.
It's gravity.
Gravity. Right.
Gravity and the inner ear.
All right.
Which is a condition of space.
Yes, it has the canals in it, like on the moon.
No, that's Mars.
No, a little fluid in there.
Here is a gift. What is a gibbous moon? G-I-B-B-O-U-S.
It's like what you see when you look over the gallows at the gibbous moon.
No.
The gibbous.
It's a little one.
No.
It's a particular color when it's full.
No.
What is a gibbous moon?
It's an itchy moon.
Shine on.
It is a
shine on gibbous moon.
Not the sun.
Give us the answer.
Yeah, gibbous moon.
It's a rounded or humped shape. As opposed to the common crescent shape.
Oh.
He would not accept ape-like.
No.
No,
I
well,
think
all
he
right.
would.
Yeah.
We tried, though.
Sure.
A humped moon.
A humped shape.
During the moon's strongest phase, it creates earth tides as well as air, lake, and ocean tides.
Mm-hmm.
Approximately how much does the earth's surface bulge up or bend when a strong moon passes over it?
3 feet.
No.
Oh, no.
12 feet.
No.
What do you mean?
We're talking
an inch.
Yeah.
12 inches.
No, that's too high.
About
6 inches.
Of an inch.
6 inches is close enough. 6 to 8 inches.
Multiplied by
that's only when
96.
There's a humped moon.
To what distance have the highest ocean tides been known to rise?
12 feet.
Oh, no, 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 no.
32 feet.
Uh-uh.
Is that the Bay of Fundy?
That's, yeah.
What do, what do you mean?
67 feet.
Above normal, you mean?
How high have tides gotten?
Above normal.
Yes.
67 feet.
That's too high.
But about 38 feet.
48 is too low.
53.
53, exactly. 53.
Yes. Yeah. See, yep. 23 and 23 minus the appropriate thing is 53.
Minus the appropriate
undeniable.
Thing.
Thang.
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 What are spring tides and when do they occur?
In the winter.
No.
Autumnal.
They occur in the spring.
Yes. And they run very quickly. They rush
up. The equinox or something.
Well,
that's when
right.
you can stand an egg
and
on its end and it will
tides.
Stay there.
They are
they
the strongest
certainly
tides.
Are.
Here's a hard one.
Okay.
What is the word for the weakest tides, which occur when the sun, moon, and earth form a right angle with the earth at the corner?
Yeah. Weak tides.
Nope.
Neap.
Yes.
Neap.
Oh, neap?
Neap tide. Yeah. N-E-A-P.
Yes.
What's
yes.
it come from?
It comes
I don't
from
know.
Nepotism.
Nepotism, of course. We've all heard of that.
They're all
that's
in collusion.
Weak.
Northeastern yeah, and Puxatawny.
This one has two parts.
Part one.
Each year, the energy expended on tides causes the moon to decay in its orbit.
Yes.
And move permanently farther away from the Earth.
But just a little bit.
About how much farther away does the moon move each year?
12 feet.
No.
Oh, it's got to be less than an inch.
Not less.
No, it's a little
an
over.
Inch.
About an inch.
Just
1.2 inches.
Yes. It's 3 centimeters.
Oh. 3 centimeters.
Yes.
Yeah. The Earth, the second part, the Earth's rotation is also slowed by the expenditure of tidal energy.
Yes.
This is exhausting.
It's not perceptible, though.
It's
each
scary.
Each succeeding day is thus a little longer than the last.
Although I noticed something slowing down about 69 for me.
Would anyone care to hazard a guess as to how much longer each day
oh,
is?
Oh, sure.
Than
we'll
the
hazard
last.
A guess.
Yeah.
Yes, we will.
That's
the, answer.
Yes.
Yes, we will hazard a guess.
Yes.
1/10,000th of a second.
No.
No.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I will. No, I'll accept that.
I think
okay,
you
I'll
should.
Because it's not much. He's only a fraction of a second
right.
in
well,
length per century.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So?
An Earth day will be about a half hour longer in 100 million years.
Wow. Well,
I can hardly wait.
Now I can get some real work done.
Yeah, only yeah, an no, I can finish my thesis.
Could be sensitive enough to feel the difference in the length of each succeeding day.
Yeah.
Listen, that's what John's counting on to finish that dissertation.
That's right. As the moon moves in orbit...
That's the time he's putting in.
Yep.
As the moon moves in orbit about the Earth at the rate of 27.3 days per revolution, its rotation is such that those of us on Earth have only been permitted to gaze upon the one side of the moon which perpetually faces the Earth.
Yes,
true.
Why is this so? For what reason does that one side of the moon always face the Earth?
Because the other side has something to be ashamed of.
Right, because that's the man in the moon.
It rotates at the exact rate at which it rotates around the Earth on its own axis.
The uncaused cause caused it.
No, he says he will not accept that as an answer.
Atheist.
Because that's the way it is.
Unitarian.
Well, the answer I have here is one side.
Because that's the way the cookie crumbles.
One side of the moon has a permanent bulge caused by the Earth's gravitational pull, which has apparently had the effect of making the heavier side lock in towards the Earth.
Gravity has caused the bulge in me, too.
Yes. Yeah. But the moon thus makes one revolution of its own as it circles the Earth every 27.3 days.
How about that?
27.3, huh?
Bonus question.
Racing with the bulge.
What is the significance of the crescent moon painted or incised at the top of many American outhouses?
You can look at the moon while you're out at night.
No.
That's the best time?
Why the
it aids in circulation.
That's a good question.
It is.
It is
very
indeed.
Good question.
Burma
well,
shade.
Because what you do in there is you go in there and you moon.
No.
As it were.
No.
Well, that's true.
I know, but it's not the answer.
Oh.
Because moon rhymes with prune. Yeah.
Which almost rhymes with llama.
So it has the right effect.
It certainly does, no. It was the original symbol for women.
Moon. Well, of course.
The men had a star on them.
Ah.
So what? I don't get it.
You will.
Think about it. Never mind.
When you're 13.
One, two. Let's see. You've gotten the seven correct, panel.
Oh, yeah. Good for us.
Yeah. Wow, that was close.
You weren't stumped by Mr. White of Kodiak.
Came darn close, though.
Kodiak, Alaska, but we're glad to hear from somebody in Kodiak.
Yeah, let's have more.
Yes, it's about time Kodiak started sending us some questions.
And pay the phone bill.
Sure.
Pay my phone bill, exactly. He'll be receiving his package of goodies one of these days, and hope to hear from him again.
Watch the mail.
Or some of his friends, or anybody. Next set of questions comes from Augustus Octavian of Des Moines, Iowa.
I don't believe it.
Look, that's what it says.
Augustus Octavian.
See the emperor out there?
He says,
Dorothy Anderson.
I listen to your show every Sunday. Doesn't look like Dorothy Anderson's handwriting. I listen to your show every Sunday at 5:15 Ante Meridian on 95 FM KGGO. And I've listening since August 83, but this is my first time writing to you. I hope you'll be adequately challenged. There is only one category entitled, What Is It?
Mm.
You must get 4 out of 5.
A lemur.
Question one.
One,
yes.
What word of 5 letters is never pronounced right?
R-A-G-H-T, right. It's never pronounced right.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Correct.
Wrong.
Wrong. Yes.
Is never pronounced right.
That's right. What we have caught, we threw away. What we could not catch, we kept. What did we keep?
We had that.
Cold.
What is that?
Yeah. Cold.
The flu.
No, wait a minute. Sarah. Say it again.
What we have caught, we threw away. What we could not catch, we kept.
We had that one
what
before.
What did we keep?
Yeah, we did.
So like Anglo-Saxon riddles.
Yeah.
No, it was earlier than that.
We caught, Greek threw away.
Lice?
What we close.
Oh, yes, it was fleas.
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 That's
fleas.
Right. Yes. What is...
Murray knows all about that.
What is circumorbital hematoma?
It's a round bruise.
Black eye.
Black eye. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. The beginning of eternity, the end of time and space, the beginning of every end and the end of every place.
Star Trek.
Is it?
The circle?
Ben Casey.
No.
Man, woman,
say
birth,
that.
Death.
Say it again.
The beginning of eternity.
Okay.
The end of time and space.
Infinity?
The beginning of every end and the end of every place. What is it?
E.
That's right. The letter E.
E, right. Yes. Got it.
E pluribus.
That would
you
be
gotta
E.
You got to think concretely.
And finally?
Could that possibly be E?
In August 1952, the U.S. Department of Agriculture published a pamphlet entitled Cultural and Pathogenic Variability in Single Condyle and Hyphal Tip Isolates of Hemlin Thosporium Tursissum Pass.
And my tax dollars paid for it.
What was this pamphlet about?
Mice.
Getting rid of rats or something.
No.
Please.
Say it again now. The...
Oh,
yes, say it again.
Yes. Yes. One repeat.
Cultural and pathogenic variability in single condyle and hyphal tip isolates.
Isolates is key.
Of Hemlin Thosporium Tursicum Pass.
It was about the Trinity.
No,
it was about transubstantiation.
It's about people living together instead of being married.
Cultural
no, it wasn't.
Bull weevils.
Oh, you're in the right ballpark.
Some kind of agricultural pest.
It's some kind of agricultural disease.
Disease.
Rust.
I mean, well, okay.
Dutch elm.
Rust. Yeah.
No. Rot root.
I'm going to give you half.
Root rot.
It's the potato corn family. Leaf disease.
Okay.
So you got 4.5 right.
It was the classic study.
And we thank Augustus Octavian.
It's definitive.
It's never had to be done again.
We're sorry he didn't stump the panel, but we hope to hear from him again.
Didn't we die already?
Yes.
Augustus Octavian,
And we hope to hear him again. And now let's take a little break.
Time now for 30 Seconds with Randy Looney.
Have you ever wondered about that program, Ask the Professor? Just what do they do on there, anyway? They certainly don't answer questions. These guys are professors? Why aren't they in the classroom? Or why are they in the classroom? Have you ever wondered if they'd answer your questions? Have you ever wanted to send some but didn't know where? Well, you can send them to Ask the Professor, 3800 Puritan, Detroit, Michigan, 48238. And please, send the correct answers. Otherwise, we just have to believe them.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from June of 1984. Matt Mayo and the current panel of professors will return later this summer with more brand new episodes of Ask the Professor. So send your questions today to atp@udmercy.edu.
All right, we're back.
Okay, are we back?
Yes, we're back.
From where?
That was short and to the point.
It certainly was.
That was a quick break. Had a run back.
I love praise.
Is this a new show?
Yes, it is.
Yes, good.
Continuing with our questions from...
It's next week.
Racing
right,
right along.
Right, and we have a new set of questions from a new questioner.
Good.
Robert W. View. I think it's says okay. It pronounced.
View, hello.
Room with a view.
It looks like it's spelled V-I-E-S-U, but he has in parenthesis view, so that must be the pronunciation.
Oh, probably. The S is silent.
He says, I'm new to the Detroit area, but I tuned into your somewhat unusual program last Sunday evening and
actually
found it
very unusual.
Interesting and amusing. Uh-huh. I would like to submit the following questions to try and stump your panel.
All right.
The questions come from the World Almanac and Book of Facts.
Oh, that's
well, we don't know anything about that.
You may use your discretion as to the use of hints, but
given
that this is my first attempt to stump your panel, I would like them to combine their...
Intelligence is that word.
Their
sounds very intelligent.
Vast talents. Vast. I was going to say last talents. Their vast talents That's and true. Wits Lost. To answer the questions.
Lost he wants talent. A fair shake.
Right. The English language boasts an abundance of names to describe groups of things,
true.
Particularly pairs or aggregations of animals.
Oh, yes.
Pride.
Following questions ask you to give the proper descriptions for the groups of animals listed. Example,
Oysters.
A gathering or group of sheep or geese. The answer is flock.
Mm-hmm. Geese is gaggle.
Gaggle.
Can be.
Can
or a
be,
flock of geese would be
flock.
Okay. Yeah.
Herd.
A group of whales.
Clump.
School. School of whales.
No, it's called something else.
It's
pod.
Called a school
it's
of
a
whales.
Pod.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a pod.
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 Not what I've got.
Isn't that a pod?
What do you have?
Whale pod.
Now, look, it is called a school of whales.
George
now, it
is
may
a whale
also
expert.
Be called other things.
Ahoy, have you seen a white whale?
An Ahab
Yes,
of
we
whale.
Killed it.
So what else?
A cluster, a clump.
Nope.
A gathering.
Think of an actress back in the 50s who was married to Sidney Lumet for a while. whose last
like
name
to.
Was a slang expression for legs.
Gams.
Gam.
That's right, a gam.
Rita Gams.
I take part of a gam.
That's a
anything.
Whale of a
hand. Yeah. Henrietta Knees.
Mm-hmm. A group of bees is called...
A buzzard.
No.
A group of bees.
Hive.
Nope.
Swarm.
A swarm.
Nope. Family.
Yes.
Nope.
Now, are these subject to more than one name?
Yeah, it's a swarm of bees.
Is it a
That's
bumble?
What I thought.
No, it's not a bumble.
A bumble of bees.
The answer I have here is grist.
A grist.
No, that's a collection of mills.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Windmills.
Hares. Hares.
Hutch.
No.
Warren.
No.
Hares.
A clump.
Think Watership.
A head of hairs. Head.
Think of corn.
An ear of hairs?
A husk.
No, husk.
A husk.
A husk of hairs.
He meant hutch.
Husk of hairs.
A gathering of kangaroos.
A joey.
No.
A pocket.
Pouch.
No.
A parcel of marsupials.
No, that's good.
A puddle.
No. Nope.
No, that doesn't happen, though.
Tailings.
Mob.
A mob.
You better stay out of the way.
Grouped by a bunch of kangaroos.
They must be mean.
A gathering of crows.
A mess.
Nobody
it's a meso. Meso.
Begins,
a pie full of
mavens.
Begins with the letter M.
A maven.
No.
Not a maven.
A maven of ravens.
A matting.
No, and it was a term used in English law in the Middle Ages to describe the killing of a Frenchman.
Mattress.
Murder.
A mitzvah. Oh.
Yes. A murder.
Mitzvah, you don't know what mitzvah is. And I'm not telling.
A group of leopards. Leopards.
Oh,
leopards or leopards?
Leopards. Leopards.
Leopards.
Yes.
A Mowgli.
Raymond leopards.
Yeah, Raymond. Raymond of leopards. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
A Mowgli.
No.
St. Martin in the field.
Okay, leopards here. We've got a pride of lions. We've
a
got,
spot.
No.
A zoo.
Just look before.
A leap?
Mm-hmm.
A leap of leopards. Leopards.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. A leap of leopards.
A group of
ten
bears.
Leopards leaping.
A group of bears. Leopards
leaping. That's good, yes. A group of bears. Think of a two-character mystery play that was filmed with Laurence Olivier and
a sleuth of bears.
And a gathering of nightingales.
Oh. A song.
No. Oh, no, we've had that.
Yeah.
Nightingales.
A symphony.
No.
No, but no. It's one of those words like a tintinabulation or something.
Well, not really, no.
A twittering.
No. A famous painting by Rembrandt has this word in it.
A night watch.
A self-portrait
close
of
enough.
Nightingales.
A watch.
A watch.
A watch.
A self-portrait of nightingales.
An anatomy of nightingales.
Well, panel, well, you've panel. Done well with these. Sure we you weren't stumped, but we thank Mr. View.
Puzzled for a while.
Really hope he'll send in some more questions.
We have a stump of panelists.
Some long ones. Yeah, stump of panelists, yes.
Something of professors.
Okay, our next set of questions comes from Jason Jones of Heartland, Michigan.
Heartland.
Who says, here That's is my attempt to stump the panel. Mm-hmm. They must get at least 4 out of the 6 questions right.
Okay, easy.
What is the capital of Mongolia?
Outer.
No.
Lhasa.
No.
Of Mongolia.
Capital of Mongolia.
Peking.
No, it is not.
Tianjin.
No.
It's with a D?
Nope.
An A?
Begins with a U.
Ulasa.
Ulaanbaatar.
Yes.
Huh? What?
Ulaanbaatar. He came up
That's
with
one
it.
Of the 11th beautiful words in the language.
Ulaanbaatar.
What does it mean?
In what year?
Don't park here.
Your llama.
Don't park your llama here.
In what year was the first commercial computer introduced, and what was its name?
Univac.
That's right.
In 40.
The 32 or something?
It's earlier? In the 50s.
57.
Early no, in the 50s. Early
one,
in the 50s.
One. Oh, 50. 50. 50.
Yeah.
I would have thought it was late 40s. But
Univac.
Yeah, it was in a building at the Institute for Advanced Study at Princeton.
Mm-hmm.
Took the entire building.
Walls
and
walls.
Now what was in that you can buy for $13. Calculator at the drugstore.
It was a whole issue of Life magazine.
Yeah.
I can remember it.
What country first marketed the cassette tape recorder?
Japan.
No.
Germany.
Nope.
Sweden.
Nope.
European.
Yes.
Austria.
Think of the company that invented the cassette.
France.
And the...
Germany.
Three-head razor.
Three-head razor.
Sweden.
Oh,
Volvo.
Belgium.
Norway.
Norelco.
Yes.
Norelco.
Now, who is
Norway.
That?
The Norwegian
it's
Electric
the Philips
Company.
Philips.
Yes. England.
Where is that located?
Philips.
Dutch.
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 That's right.
It's located in Dutchland.
It's in Dutchland.
Dutchland.
The Netherlands.
The Netherlands.
From what tribe did Kenya's Mau Mau terrorist group mainly draw their members?
The Ubangi.
No.
Hausa.
Oh, no. That's over in Nigeria.
Kenya. The Watusi. Yeah.
No. They were too tall.
Yes.
I
don't know what tribes.
Did the tribe bear a resemblance to one of the Mao? Double?
No.
Was it one of the syllables like that?
Are well, there a it, famous fighting tribe, very warlike?
I don't know that, but there's a certain alliterative quality to the name.
Mimosa.
Now I have to give it to you, and you know it when you hear it. The Kikuyu.
Right.
Yeah.
Where did Mao?
Kikuyu. From what?
Kikuyu too. Right.
From what country did the ballpoint pen come?
Germany.
John Cameron Swayze.
Nope.
England.
No. Is it European?
It's European and it's Central European.
Yugoslavia.
You've gone a little too south.
Hohenzollern.
Well, Czechoslovakia.
Bohemia.
You're near it.
Austria.
Go over to the right.
Romania.
Hungary?
Hungary.
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 Ballpoint pen.
Hungary. They used to nibble on their pens.
In what year was the first World Series and who won it?
Oh.
Well, it was the early 1900s, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Boston.
It was Boston. They won it.
Before 1910?
It was after.
After 1910.
Same year the Titanic sank.
12.
Yes, 1912.
1912, Boston.
Very good. Well, panel, you
who,
were stumped
who did they
there.
Beat?
The other team.
Doesn't say.
I think they
just
beat
heard
Chicago,
on the radio,
the Black Sox, yeah. I think it was. No, I think it was.
That scandal was the
first Stanley
yeah.
Cup was won by the Seattle Metropolitans, who beat, well, they beat Montreal.
The Oklahoma Skaters.
Yeah, they were part of the NHL way back.
Oh, really?
A long time ago.
What's her name was swimming across the channel? What was her name, Bernie?
George Lazenby.
No, who
George
was that?
Lazenby.
Who was that?
Harriet Quimby. Quimby.
Harriet Quimby, yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Our next set of questions comes from David Breitenbach
yes.
of Roseville, Michigan. Mm-hmm. He says, because of the popularity of the Book of Lists, volumes 1 through 3, I have decided to make my first challenge to you concerning lists.
Okay.
Enclosed are 11 questions
Friends.
In which you are to list 66 items.
Oh, come on.
You must name at least 57 of them to
come
pass.
On.
What are we Forget talking
it.
About?
Baked beans.
This is called padding.
Yeah, okay.
Because you don't want me to actually read the questions from...
No.
Him, do you?
No.
No.
That's what I thought. All right. Okay. According to Fortune magazine,
yes.
What were the 10 largest industrial corporations in the U.S. in 1982?
Mobile.
Exxon
is one.
General Motors.
Yes.
Mobile.
Yes.
IBM.
Yes.
Ford Motor Company.
Yes.
GM.
We've already said General Motors.
There we go, GM.
Texaco.
Yes.
Biggest Chrysler. Growth? Is that Chrysler?
Chrysler's not in there.
AT&T.
No, well, let's stop at this point because that's the end of our time. Okay. We'll come back to these next week.
All right.
You're doing very well so far, and we'll just have to have Mr. Breitenbach hang on there. So until next time, thank the panel, Professor Pickering, Professor O'Neill, Professor Green, Professor Gravel, and Professor Klemanski, and now this word from the University of Detroit.
Mr. Chairman, the great state of Michigan, the place that put America on wheels, would therefore like to place in nomination that great place of learning, the University of Detroit. Is this on? For more than 100 years, U of D has given its constituents, as students, the benefit of the Jesuit experience in education. And we at U of D believe it is a time for new ideas. Ideas like a strong cooperative education program. Ideas like the business certificate for liberal arts majors. Mr. Chairman, I submit that we can, I submit that we must, and I submit that we shall attend the University of Detroit in 1984.
And there we have it. It looks like the University of Detroit in 1984.
Ask the Professor is transcribed with the facilities of the E.J. and A.U. Smith Media Center on the University of Detroit campus. Ask the Professor was produced by Paul Murray, assisted by Roger Hino. Our technical director is Jim Muir. Executive producer is Vivian Dix. And until next time, this is your host, Edwin DeMint.
And I'm Michael Jason, inviting you to join us again next week for another classic edition of Ask the Professor.